You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy, and tonight it's our pleasure. We're totally excited about this. Have the Goo Goo Dolls with us.
Hello.
Wow, thank you very much.
Hi. Wow.
All
how
that
are
applause.
You?
Yeah. Fine, thank you.
Good.
How are you?
Very well. It's brilliant to have you here.
It's really good to be back in the UK.
When was the last time you were here?
I think like 3 years ago.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, I think it's been about 3 years.
Do you enjoy coming to the UK? There's a big fan base for you guys here.
Yeah, it's really... You know, it's really interesting because the fans here, or the audience, I like to call them the audience more than the fans, like they follow us around.
It seems a little mighty.
Yeah. So our audience is really, over here, it's a lot younger, and there's more men in the audience, which is interesting. Because it's generally, in the United States, it's mostly women in their 20s and 30s and 40s.
Really? Because I always thought it would be a real mix with you guys. I thought it would be a 50-50 split.
But over the past little bit, there's been more men coming, which I don't know if that's a good sign or not.
Would you rather see the ladies in the audience?
As the women get married.
Much rather.
Yeah.
Yeah, their poor husbands get dragged with them.
And they're flinging their bras at you.
but you know, the audience is here. I think music is so much... bigger a part of the culture here than it is in the United States, because it's just everybody's just immersed in the internet and video games and, you know, all this other stuff. So music is sort of taking a back seat to a lot of things. And you come here and everybody knows the words to every song. I don't even have to sing when I come here, which is so great. I can just turn the microphone
around. The easiest
around.
Tour ever.
Easiest tour ever.
You know, I'll preserve my voice. You sing.
Yeah.
But I think that's the way, because actually a lot of American guests that we have on the show always comment on the culture within the States being very much people like what they like and they stay with it.
Yeah.
And they don't open their minds. Whereas British audiences, and I think you'll agree, Lucy.
Yeah.
We do kind of consume everything.
We like
and
everything.
And we'll open our minds to everything.
Absolutely. Everything in America has been, not to put down the great
of course.
United States of America, but it's not a put down at all, but everything has sort of been compartmentalized and subdivided into these subgenres. And people, you know, base the way they comb their hair and the clothes they wear and the people they talk to on this little subgenre of music something.
In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy. The Goo Goo Dolls are still here and we have to chat Iris, really.
Is it one of those songs? Because some people get bored of obviously singing the same old songs. Like Kings of Leon has said already, they're bored of doing You Somebody.
Well,
but for you
know, they should
that?
Be grateful that anybody even wants to listen to them.
Yeah. Thank you. Know? We agree.
And it's like, you know, if somebody's gonna you know, plop down 25 pounds or 30 pounds to come and see us, you know, especially nowadays when it's just such hard times that everybody is going through.
Yeah, they should wait another decade or two before they start complaining.
So Iris.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
But no, we play Iris every night. We play Slide every night. We play Broadway. We play, you know, Black Balloon. We play Stay With You. You know, you got to play, you know, Better Days. That's what people go out and work their asses off all week and then spend their hard-earned money on.
Yeah.
So you got to give them what they want.
Exactly. I mean,
it just seems that, see, I hate when bands do that because it just shows such a lack of gratitude for what little gift you've been given. I mean, one thing is you know, you gotta act cool. I mean, you know, we're a lot older than those guys, so it's kind of like, we don't need to be cool anymore.
You just need to write good songs and be out here playing them.
Three chords and the truth, man. That's what it all comes down to.
Do you find different ways of performing your songs as well to keep it fresh? Or do you just keep doing it?
Well, we tried a few different ways today in the studio and finally settled on one.
You've got to have a few choices, right? You've got to get it right. That's the main thing.
The interesting thing with some American bands here in the UK is that you will have a hardcore fan base who will always come and see you when you're touring.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you won't necessarily have that expected chart success that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you guys have been one of those bands. We could sort of hark back to Train as a good example as well, and also Matchbox 20, Dave Matthews Band, people like that. Pete, you talk to people, they know who the bands are, but they might not necessarily know the entire back catalogue.
Oh no, that's kind of a big deal. But hopefully, you know, you can get a song on the radio and get exposed, and it'll hopefully compel people to go back and look at the rest of your catalog. You know, I mean, you know, a song like Iris is always going to cast this huge shadow over the rest of our body of work. But, you know, you have to learn to deal with that, and you have to keep challenging yourself to try and beat it. I haven't. But that's, you know, that's
you've
a once in a lifetime
thing. You've got to use it as a positive,
thing.
I guess, haven't you? Because it has done wonderful things for you guys.
Well, yeah,
that
you
song.
Know, I mean, you know, I'm not going to die broke.
I guess you get quite a lot of fans as well, because a lot of your songs, you know, they're very sort of, they sound very personal, and I think people will draw something from that, or it may help them through certain times in their lives. Yeah. Do you get to hear those stories from people on a regular basis?
Those are the kind of stories that I hear all the time. I never get the stripper's phone number, you know, and this doesn't work, you know. Girls throwing bras on the stage or whatever. It doesn't really happen that much. But yeah, you do get people do share their personal stories a lot, which is actually that song, Not Broken. That song was, you know, I met a woman at a meet and greet, and, you know, she gave me a note and I read it. It was about her husband who'd been injured in Iraq, and he didn't want to come home to her because he was afraid that she wouldn't accept him in his new form, you know? And so I just felt like I wanted to write him a letter from her.
We have to go and let you sound check for your gig this evening. Thank you very much for coming and performing.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see you soon. Yeah. We should come back and do it again sometime.
We will come back, and this time we'll practice. We're thinking about the summer.
You're not going to have 10 different versions.
No, okay. We'll draw it out of a hat.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy. Tonight we welcome Ed Druitt to the show.
Yay! Hello.
Finally.
Hello. Round of applause for you lot.
We played your song in August.
Oh my God.
It was a long time ago.
Do you know what? I saw a couple of tweets and I was like, no, this is a joke. Like, they're having me on. And then I saw it and then what did I say? I said thank you or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, thank you. I found out it was true. Yeah. I was over the moon. So
the thing was, though, we had to sit on it for a few weeks because we'd been sent it, but we weren't allowed to
play
it. And we had to wait for the green light, and the second that green light came, we were like, get
the
on
email
it.
That says yes. You're like, yay, finally. But in the meantime, we did put the video that you did, the swing version, on our Facebook page. And everyone loved it. They were all like, who's this guy? And a couple of people, quite a while, already knew about you, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
But everyone loved it.
Brilliant.
So before we start talking about Champagne Lemonade and kind of what's to come and stuff like that, let's go back to a few other bits.
There's been a few.
He's been around.
Been around the block.
Let's start with Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So you auditioned for Any Dream Will Do.
I did. That was my mum's doing, you know.
You've got to blame her.
I've got to blame someone. You know, it's not really that cool.
But you're the perfect.
Yeah, do you know what? One day I thought, I'm gonna audition for Joseph.
I love Andrew Lord, mother.
I love him. No, what happened is he came in my room one morning. I'd probably been out on the booze the night before, and you know, I don't really want to speak to mum in the morning, and she puts this paper clip in front of me. Look, they're auditioning for Joseph, and you've got to go in for it because I've got a good feeling about it. So I was like, alright, well, let me wake up and I'll consider it. And I went for it. First one was at the Kingsway Hotel in London, and that's where it rolled on from there, really.
So how far did you actually get in the show?
I think I got to the final 20 or the final 15. It was the one at Andrew Lloyd Webber's castle where... If I'd have got through, I'd have been on, you know, the live finals, but I didn't.
Let's go now to Professor Green.
Yes.
I Need You Tonight. You are the voice of I Need You Tonight.
I am. That was interesting when I was out.
But what that song was not only a great rap, a great sample, you singing that sample and that sounding great, but the video that came with it was incredible as well.
It was a great
and it just
video.
Kind of just brought the two of you, I suppose, into our consciousness.
Into the limelight.
Yeah, it was really good.
And
there's a good balance
then,
on that video.
Written All Time Low for The Wanted.
Yes.
Yeah. Ka-ching. Yeah. Nice one.
So, subconsciously...
It's not about the money, Lucy. I mean, you know.
It kind of is in a way.
Subconsciously, you've been with us all year, but we've not really known it.
Yeah.
That was a weird one, yeah. I co-wrote it with a guy called... Well, two fantastic guys called Wayne Hector and Steve Mack. And they did all the Westlife stuff, Il Divo, you know.
Steve Mack's worked with JLS as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he does all the production on it. And you know, both fantastic guys. And it was when I was in the midst of going in different sessions with everyone, you know, trying to find new tunes for the record, for my album. And there was this melody that had been bugging me, and it went da 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 da. Da, 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 da. And I was like, I don't know, guys, I don't know what there is about that, but I love it. And they were like, yeah, let's work on it. And then, you know, Wayne come up with a few lyrics, and then we just sort of, it was just a nice little mashup, you know, we just put in little bits and bobs and came up with that the number one smash.
Yeah, it was so huge.
It was ridiculous. I didn't even expect it.
Can you introduce your song for us, Ed? Then we'll chat some more, mate.
I sure can. I'm Ed Druitt, and this is my debut single, Champagne Lemonade.
In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy. Ed Druitt is with us this evening. We played Champagne Lemonade a bit earlier on the show. It's a genius song.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. There were two songs that popped into our lives at the same time. There was Mike Posner, Cooler Than Me, and Champagne Lemonade.
Cool.
And we just kind of, it was just this refreshing moment where I was like, yes, two songs we can really get excited about. And it's really different as well.
It's really, yeah, that's really nice to hear because, I don't know, I like to pride myself on writing lyrics that sort of prick people's ears up and, you know, putting words like goon in a song and things like that. Do you know what I mean? Just keeping the listener interested and not all about, oh, yeah, I'm partying tonight, I'm in a club. There is a way of keeping commercial but still keeping things not lazy and throwaway at the same time, you know? And I don't know, I sort of pride myself on
creative.
That.
Creative.
Yeah, and the rest of the album is very, you know, very lyrically interesting, I hope.
Video for the song.
Yes.
Pretty inspired as well.
I like it.
Some people are like, it's in the driving range. Like, what's that all about? And I was like, oh, do you know what? There was this, I've got to be honest, when I first saw this treatment, it had a bloody driving range on the front by this lovely guy called Brendan McNamee. I read through it and it couldn't have been more perfect. It had pictures, you know, reference pictures of Dean Martin, you know, with golf club, people dancing with top hats and canes and stuff. And I was like, it's brilliant. And the basic vibe behind it is that I've gone to the driving range to knock this girl out of my head, you know, and just concentrate.
Late at night.
Late at night, gone on your own after work or whatever and just, you know, going there to talk to yourself. And I just thought it was a brilliant concept.
And it all comes to life, and in your head, I guess, is what we see. The girls running around, the girl in the sparkly dress, that kind of thing. And then at the end, you on your own, the guy's like, can I lock up now, mate?
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. I'm done.
Thanks very much for coming to see us, man.
That's quite all right.
Best of luck with the single and come and see us again soon.
Thank you very much.
Do a session
guys.
For us maybe in the future?
I would love to.
That'd
you
be
just
awesome.
Give me a shout.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy, and tonight we welcome Duffy to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I like how you're holding your headphones there to avoid messing up your hair.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Thanks.
No, but it does work. You can't have the beehive being flattened.
No, I think I've actually sung this way.
Have you?
This is how I roll.
Yeah.
In fact, I have mind the hair. Like this to the side of my face at all times just in case I get the radio signals. Like, hello? Okay.
So you disguise them with earmuffs.
You need to go to France. Okay, I'm on the next plane.
Run for the hills.
Yeah.
The Welsh valleys. Yeah, go hide.
Valleys like that. Oh.
How are you?
I'm really good. All the better for seeing you, actually.
Welcome back to our lives.
Thank you.
It's been too long.
I know, and I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, good. Well, being back or being away?
Well, now that you mention it. No, I'm enjoying talking to people and coming back and actually seeing a lot of familiar faces and warm welcomes across all these different radio stations. And I have actually really missed it.
Apart from making the new album, what else did you do with your time? Did you literally just get to do some normal stuff again?
Yeah, hang out in my pyjamas and, you know, watch old movies and kind of call my mum at 3 p.m. and we were on the same time zone. Things like that, you know, you forget how important it is. You know, I missed Father's Day because I was in Japan and it wasn't Father's Day in Japan.
Aww.
You know, how was I to know? I didn't get away with that one, though. My dad never forgave me. but so it was nice to, you know, go back to so-called reality. But there are very many different realities to this world that I exist in. And as you know, it's kind of wild and kind of foot to the pedal. So it was nice to go and do something that I enjoy and what brought me here in the beginning, which is make music. I went back and made a record that I really love.
And you made it with this guy, Albert Hammond. I've got that right.
Yes.
And I like this part of your new press release says you were in Hollywood. Yes. And you kind of had a decision to make. Do you be a celebrity and go and party? Yeah. Or do you go and hang out with this guy and just have tea at his house? And you chose to do that.
I'm really incriminating myself like a sort of elderly woman here. But
oh, no, it's nice.
I'm a bit old-fashioned, actually. You know, I've actually bought a knitting kit. I'm going to make that trendy.
Khalees likes knitting. She's quite cool.
Yeah. Hollywood, yes. I just wanted to get some home comforts and kind of... Yeah, hang out with older people are cool. I kind of have a soft spot. I mean, people say he's like my granddad, but he's so much more like the godfather, you know? He's the coolest guy in the world. So it wasn't as though I went and hung out with, you know, sort of old folk. He's like the coolest, most experienced songwriter, and he just made me feel at ease. And so that seemed to feel so much more comfortable than partying at that time. It wasn't on my list of agendas. And so I got to start writing the records.
In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy. Duffy is still with us this evening.
Woo! Hooray!
Now, we must touch on, and I'm sure you've been asked about this before, the slightly unhinged lady who did your song on The X Factor.
I haven't been asked about it,
have
actually.
Have you not? No.
You've been sarcastic.
I haven't, I swear.
Really?
No.
Did you see it?
My mum sent me a link.
Give me mercy!
No. It was the weirdest thing.
And my mum was so polite and said, this lady did this song on the TV the other night. And I was like, nice, okay. And she was like, I sent it to you on your email. So turned it and it was like, okay. I was like, this is eclectic. And actually, I think she raised the bar in terms of choreography.
Well, yeah, I mean, the moment when she flicked her leg in the air and almost kicked herself in the face was perfect. Yeah.
Love the fact you've gone over that routine, I can tell.
I actually looked at it again earlier before you came in because I just remembered and I was like, oh, we must ask her about this.
Yeah, health and safety issues within one routine with yourself, you know? Really cool.
And then, it was just hilarious. The funny thing was that they put her through and then they had to get rid of her because apparently she's not all there.
Oh, so
she seemed perfectly sane before she started singing, to be honest.
Oh, because they told me that she'd won that round or something and she'd got in.
Yeah,
she
did.
And
they said she couldn't take part anymore.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I think they had concerns. Maybe it was the choreography.
Oh, no. But, you know, having just watched that tiny little clip, it does kind of make you feel good in the sense that it reminds you, you know, that your music's there to be enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I'm not precious about any of that stuff, you know. John Bon Jovi did it once in a gig. That's kind of cool, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
I think it was in, like, San Jose or something. And again, like, you know, 100,000 people, and you get sent this stuff. You know, people say, oh my gosh, I was at a my friend was at a Bon Jovi gig. Check this out, and then it filters all its way to you, and you go, nice. And then it totally isn't about you. When your songs become something almost bigger than yourself, that's super surreal.
That's a bit crazy.
That's surreal.
We want to talk about another one of your songs as well. We've always loved Rain on Your Parade.
Really?
Because it just reminds me of a James Bond theme. It should be in a James Bond movie.
Well, actually, there was a bit of tongue-in-cheek about that, you know, I think in...
It's the strings and everything in it, I think.
Yeah, it's really dramatic.
Yeah, it's really dramatic and... I know.
Around that time, there was speculation of me doing the Bond theme. And so, I don't know, do they call it collective consciousness? You know, if everyone's thinking the same thing, it ends up coming together.
Yeah.
And there I had a song that was, as you say, remarkably similar to something in that world. So we just had fun with it, you know, put the boys in suits. We kind of did it like a sort of Bond feel
video.
Your own
Bond, yeah.
Yeah, and it was fun, you know, and I think music should be taken as that, you know, not too literal.
Hmm. And if you ever did get asked to do it, would you be up for that?
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I love it. And I think it's, you know, as glamorous, I think, as British film could ever get.
We've got this grand idea of you and Tom Jones doing it.
Or Shirley.
Nice.
Oh, all three of you. Oh,
three generations
gosh, can you imagine?
Of Bond girls together. It would be amazing.
Tom made it as a Bond girl? That's so cool.
He looks lovely in a frock.
Wait till he hears about a gold bikini. He's going to be so happy.
He'll be rocking
but
that.
You've already styled it. It's got to happen.
I just saw him coming out of the water.
Oh, dear.
With his dragon ring on.
Nice.
Yeah, he wears that. Yeah.
Well spotted. But he's such a sweet person, you know. I was fortunate to meet him because people ask me, you know, do I know Charlotte Church? Have you hung out with Catherine Zeta-Jones? You know,
it's like you're a Welsh collective.
Yeah, you know, and then you even get that, you know, if someone can ask you about American stars, and you know, I feel like saying we do live about 50,000 miles away from each other. You know that. We don't all hang out in like a pop group, you know, pop green room.
Yeah.
Having said that, I did meet Tom Jones and he was a gent, really sweet, and I feel quite proud of that. Yeah. I'm a fan, you know.
He is a bit of a legend.
Yeah.
I think you two would actually as well, with both your voices, would work really nicely together.
Well, he said something about me once, which I think is one of the most, I think it's the favourite thing anyone ever said about me.
Aww.
And I think it was after the Brits, but he said, I look like an angel and swear like a sailor. I really have got sometimes quite a foul mouth, so.
And you were his favourite of the Brits as well, because I interviewed him on the red carpet and he said, I said, oh, who do you want to see win awards tonight? Duffy.
Wow.
Obviously. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. You get a bit patriotic, you see, so it's a bit emotional, actually.
Aww.
He was moved, and, you know, to me, I kind of had a feeling when I saw him walk on stage at the Brits, I thought, that's a sign.
Yeah, yeah.
They've summoned a Welshie. What does that mean?
Yeah.
The boyo.
Yeah, the boyo. So I was thinking, this is it. I think they're going to say it. And of course he said, I'm biased, but I shall read the nominees anyway. You know?
Yeah.
I was like your style.
Was it an amazing feeling when you actually got off on stage and got all those? You got three, didn't you?
I did. And I think what was the kind of bigger thing for me that night was, I'm sure that was the only time really that I'd been live in my family's living room.
Aww.
Ever, you know. And I kept the fact that I was a singer a secret. I went on this little pilgrimage. Excuse me. I'm not getting emotional, I swear. Any backstory and I get moved. I went on this pilgrimage leaving a small town. And I didn't really inform my parents of my dreams. I didn't say, I'm going to London, I'm making a record. So they kind of just went, yeah, Duffy's off again. And then the first thing they see of me is Jules Holland. Blah, 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 blah. It all goes, you know, wild and wonderful, like a whirlwind. And the Brits closed it off with me live in their living rooms. That was a big moment for me.
Thanks for coming to see us.
Thank you.
No, this is a highlight. You're like so lovely.
Oh, we love you.
No, you're cool. I'm really enjoying this. Thanks a lot.
Oh,
we'll come back and do it again soon.
Yeah.
That'd be really nice.
I will.
Duffy, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to In Demand.